Hello, this is Dr. Grande. Today I will offer an update on the case of Christopher Schultes. I just covered this case recently, but then not long after I released the video, there was a major development in the case. I will start with a brief background of this case, including the update, then offer my updated analysis. Christopher Schultes lived with his wife Erica and their three daughters in Marana, Arizona. On July 9, 2024, at 4:16 p.m., Christopher called 911 and said his two-year-old daughter Parker was unresponsive. The investigation revealed that he had left her in his 2023 Acura MDX SUV after they returned home in the afternoon. The high temperature that day was 109 degrees. Parker was pronounced dead at 4:58 p.m. Her cause of death was environmental heat exposure. Christopher claimed that he left her in the back seat of the vehicle because she was asleep. He did not want to wake her up. He did this despite knowing that his SUV would automatically shut down after 20 minutes. He had experienced this before, so this is something that he was fully aware of. The investigation revealed that Christopher had stopped by a grocery store and then a convenience store on his way home that day. He left Parker in his vehicle during those visits. At the convenience store, he allegedly shoplifted beer. He consumed some of it before leaving. He went in the bathroom to do this. He and Parker arrived home at 12:53 p.m., but Christopher lied to the police and said they arrived home at 2:30 p.m. This was in an apparent effort to minimize his culpability in her death. Here his daughter was dead, yet the first thing that he thought of was himself and how he could avoid responsibility. In his house, Christopher played video games and watched adults-only videos. He was arrested and charged with second-degree murder. Eventually, he received an upgrade to first-degree murder. Christopher was offered a plea bargain for second-degree murder in March of 2025. His sentence would have been 10 to 25 years. He rejected this offer. In May 2025, he and his wife took a week-long vacation to Maui, Hawaii. On October 22, 2025, Christopher Schultes pleaded guilty to second-degree murder. The terms of his deal meant that he would serve 20 to 30 years in prison. This was what they call flat time in Arizona. This was day for day. He would serve every single day of his sentence. There would be no good time. Usually, in Arizona, prisoners can receive up to 15% off their sentence. They can achieve this if they stay out of trouble in prison, if they attend certain programs, and things like that. This may not seem like much, but over a long sentence, it can make a big difference. For example, if Christopher had been sentenced to 20 years and had the possibility of good time, he could have been out in 17. With the way his plea deal was made, he would serve every day of those 20 years. Christopher is scheduled to turn himself into the police on November 5, 2025. He would sit in jail until being sentenced on November 21. At least, this was the plan. On November 5, at 6 a.m., the police discovered 38-year-old Christopher Schultes dead at his home in Marana. He had caused his own death. The case is considered to be closed. Now moving to my analysis. Here are my thoughts on a few areas that stood out to me in this case. Item number one, what makes this case different from other hot car death cases? I've talked about many of these types of cases in the past where a child is accidentally left in a vehicle due to someone forgetting that they were there. The typical scenario involves a husband and wife who take turns transporting their child to daycare. So sometimes the husband will take the child, and on other occasions, the wife will. So one day the husband wakes up, he gets ready for work, he puts his child in the back seat, and he starts driving. Somewhere along the trip, he forgets the child is there. He believes that this is one of those days when his wife is taking the child. So he drives directly to work. At some point during the day, the husband goes back out to the vehicle, maybe at lunch or maybe when he's getting ready to leave work, and he discovers that his child had been in the back seat the entire time and, of course, did not survive. This is a tragedy, but the action is not intentional. The husband did not intend to kill the child. This was a matter of forgetting. This situation is sometimes called forgotten baby syndrome, and it has been studied by researchers. There is a wide disparity as far as the reaction to a case like this by law enforcement. So using this example of the husband, there may be no arrest, like the police say this was just an accident. They might also say that the husband has suffered enough through the loss. Now, in other instances, the person could be charged with a crime which could go all the way up to murder. So we see this wide disparity and no real rationale for why some people don't get charged at all and why others get charged with murder. The circumstances leading to Parker's death were different. Christopher deliberately left her in his Acura SUV. He knew that this was a dangerous situation. The vehicle was going to turn off automatically in 20 minutes. The forgetting part only came later. He entered his house and engaged in a number of activities. During this time, he forgot that Parker was in the vehicle. By deliberately leaving her there in the first place, Christopher did not leave himself room for mercy. Another problem for Christopher is how he was repeatedly warned by his wife not to leave their children in the vehicle. Apparently, he had a bad habit of doing this. In my opinion, Christopher was guilty of first-degree murder in reality. He was lucky to get a plea deal for second-degree murder. Item number two, why did Christopher refuse to serve his sentence? Why did he take another direction in this case? After Christopher killed Parker, he was in denial. He did not believe that he was guilty of murder, and he did not believe he was going to serve time in prison. He turned down a generous plea bargain, the one which would have led to a sentence of 10 to 25 years. And he even took a vacation to Hawaii. This is a man who truly believed he could talk his way out of any problem. It's also possible that he thought people would look at him as a victim too. Again, this has happened in other cases where a child has been left in the back of a vehicle with fatal consequences. So Christopher may have looked up these cases on the internet and said, well, I probably can escape the consequences, just like there were no consequences for these people. The experience of denial was not foreign to Christopher. He was also in denial about his alcohol use. Denial was a major theme of his life. One of the interesting elements about denial is how it can abruptly come to an end with acceptance. Usually, acceptance is framed as a positive outcome when someone has denial. So a person denies reality, but then they come to accept reality. So the fog has been lifted. They now understand what's going on. For example, a man uses substances for many years. He is in denial about the problem. He believes that he can function just fine. The substance use will not cause physical or mental harm. It will not cause him to be fired from his job. He understands that he is using substances, but denies that there will be difficulties due to this use. So the denial is not complete. It's not about everything, just about his difficulties. After receiving mental health counseling or due to some type of adverse event, like a medical diagnosis or being fired from a job, the man accepts that his substance use is destructive. This acceptance leads to change, like abstinence. Everybody is happy. This is a great outcome. Unfortunately, these scenarios don't always end this way. Sometimes acceptance can lead to a poor and drastic decision instead of recovery. For example, some stalkers commit murder after achieving acceptance. A typical scenario involves a man stalking a woman who rejected him. He is in denial about the rejection. He knows the rejection is real, but he believes that the woman will change her mind. So really, the denial is about the permanence of the rejection. The man thinks that the rejection is temporary. It is not the end of the romantic relationship. They are just on a break. Over time, the man realizes the rejection is permanent. He gains acceptance. The fog of denial has now been removed. Instead of facilitating positive change, this acceptance leads to a homicidal act. The man kills the woman who rejected him. I think this is sort of what happened with Christopher. He was in denial about being guilty of murder. This denial was protective. It kept him free from concern. For example, it allowed him to enjoy his trip to Hawaii. Many people facing decades in prison would not have a good time on vacation right before their sentence. He was not worried about going to prison because he believed it would never happen. Eventually, however, Christopher gained acceptance. He realized that he would be spending a long time in prison. There would be no escape from the consequences of his behavior. The denial had kept him safe from painful feelings. The acceptance permitted those feelings to come rushing in. Christopher was thinking about what his life was going to be like. He would serve 20 to 30 years in prison. Arizona prisons are unbearably hot, and the wine list presented with dinner is notoriously neglected. This would be a terrible life full of heat and sobriety. On top of this, Christopher was going to serve every single day of his sentence. By the time he was released from prison, he would be somewhere between 58 and 68 years old. He would still be a murderer. Getting a job, at least a decent job, would be just about impossible. In all likelihood, anyone who cared about him would have abandoned him years earlier. People tend to forget those in prison regardless of what was intended at the beginning of the prison sentence. Christopher would be alone, poor, and a pariah to society. This outcome was unacceptable to Christopher. He was accustomed to a life of pleasure, one where he was able to get his way at every turn. He could drink whenever he wanted. He could be irresponsible and reckless. Life was one big party, but now this party was over. I think the acceptance is what led to Christopher's fateful decision. Denial is like falling, and acceptance is like landing. When a person is in denial, they are in the descent phase, heading toward disaster quickly. They are suspended in the air, free from consequences, enjoying a moment where everything still seems possible. Acceptance is the impact with the ground, sudden, brutal, and impossible to ignore. Only at this time does the person realize how far they have fallen. Reality is now in full view. They finally understand what happened and recognize how getting back to where they were may be impossible. The damage that has been done is irreversible. When a person gains acceptance, they are not automatically out of the woods. They must make appropriate decisions in light of their newfound knowledge. That is the only way the acceptance leads to a positive outcome, like abstinence. Now moving to my final item, number 3. Does the outcome in this case represent justice? When a person who is sentenced to prison decides they are not going to serve that time, as is the case here with Christopher, there are typically two reactions by the public. The first reaction is that the decision is fine. Essentially, the outcome is the death penalty. What's the problem? The taxpayers in Arizona saved a lot of money. Christopher is no longer a threat. Everyone should be happy. Other people look at this differently. They say this is not justice. Christopher was supposed to serve 20 to 30 years in prison. That was the penalty assigned to him by the criminal justice system. He should have served his sentence, then he could have made whatever decision he wanted to about his future. That time was not his. He owed that time to the state. There is no easy answer to this question, was justice served? It touches on free will and what a person owes to society, if anything. In my opinion, if Christopher really felt remorse for killing Parker, he would have served his sentence. I think his final decision was in line with all his prior decisions, based on self-centeredness. Christopher was all about finding pleasure and avoiding pain. Taking the path of least discomfort was the final expression of the same selfishness that led to his daughter's death. Those are my thoughts on the case of Christopher Schultes. Thank you so much for watching. I'll talk to you soon.